Hello friend, I am Soumendra Naik. How are you all doing today? Let me introduce myself. I have been into the rural sector, the rural industry for about 14 years now. I have worked across various companies where I have worked in the functions of sales, marketing. I have led the sustainability and stewardship vertical and currently pursuing my career in the consultancy domain, where we advise different companies on the aspects of their approach in the rural sector. Let me all welcome you to this session of Rural Dynamics, and let me introduce you to the first chapter, which is an introduction itself to the rural India. So, rural India. As we go by the definition of rural India, it is an area which is located outside a bigger city, and the population is about 15,000 people in that particular area. And whereas the population density is about 400 to 450 per square kilometer. And approximately about 75% of the male population in that area are engaged in the agriculture or any kind of allied activities relating to agriculture. We all know that in rural areas since time immemorial, many agriculture and its allied occupation, in addition to occupations such as fishing, dairy, pottery, cottage industries, and are being followed. Coming to what our great leader Mahatma Gandhi once used to say, India lives in her 7.5 lakh of villages, and if the village perishes, India will perish too. In these two statements, he used to aptly describe the importance of overall development in rural areas and how important it is for each one of us. As far as the economy of our nation is concerned, around 26% of the national income is generated in rural areas. Overall development of rural area is a must for making our nation a developed nation. Thanks to the high growth rates of the industries and the service sector, where actually the agriculture share in the India's economy has progressively declined to less than 18%. But in spite of this fact about agriculture share, the importance of agriculture has never come down, and it is still very high and significant. Nearly 75% of Indian families depend on incomes coming from rural occupations. India is the world's largest producer of milk, pulses, and spices. It has the largest area under wheat, rice, and cotton in the world. Since our food security depends on production of cereal crops, milk, fruits, vegetables, it becomes mandatory to increase their production to meet the demand of a growing Indian population. We all know, like, by 2050, we have to cater to a population of about 11 billion people globally. And if that has to be done, we have to increase our productivity wherever required. Recently, various industries such as factories, mills, energy plant, multi-purpose project, etc. have started coming up in rural areas. So there's a whole gamut of activities that is happening in and around the rural areas. The result is that occupation of the people in the villages has started changing. In spite of substantial increase in the purchasing power of rural people, it is a paradoxical that majority of the country's BPL families are found in rural sectors. It is observed that there has been substantial increase in the income as well as purchasing power of the rural communities. But there is a shocking fact. A big gap in per capita income between the rural and the urban sector. If we compare the urban sector, the per capita income is more than 1 lakh and 1,000 rupee, like the per capita income of the urban people, whereas in case of rural areas, it is just a little more than the 40,000 for the rural people. Hence, we conclude that overall development of rural area is absolutely necessary, and we have to make our nation a developed nation, not just by focusing on rural area, but increasing their productivity, increasing their income level, and finally the per capita income of each of the rural family. So coming to the challenges faced in rural areas, so most important challenge that we face today is the erratic monsoon. The high dependence on the irrigation, like people are highly dependent on the rainfall for the irrigation of their crops. This is the main reason why we depend so much on the monsoon. and the result is like high debt burdens on farmers. Like if there is a monsoon failure, the farmers will be highly burdened with the debts, and this has led to some of the farmer suicides. So indeed, there is a big challenge in front of our nation. Government policies has been ineffective to reach to all the masses of rural areas. That may be due to various reasons. Corruption is another tumor that has paralyzed the system to some extent, and a lot of subsidies which the government provides is not being able to reach to the rural masses. Personal issues like poor medical facilities, such as non-availability of competent physicians, good hospitals and clinics, non-availability of cheaper medicines at the right place, and which results into the poor health of adults as well as children. So this has increased a lot of mortality rate in various areas, which is totally inaccessible to the hospitals and other medical facilities. There are various other family problems which crop up. So this may be due to some of the clashes between the relatives, mainly concerning about the property and the landholding pattern. Family is devastated after suicide of the earning member, the major member of this family. The rural society is still divided into various strata on the basis of caste, which create problem like honor killings in few of the pockets. The dowry system is still exist and is one form or the other in spite of existing laws. But it's a good sign that these social evils which pull down the rural masses has gone to is currently in a downtrend due to various laws that is coming up to protect the people. Corrective actions are required not only from government but also from every Indian citizen to bring about a drastic change in these parameters. Now friends, let me take you to the importance of rural markets. How important is this market for any entrepreneur or any industry or any kind of people who are looking to tap those markets? Today, the rural market offers a vast potential which is yet untapped. With its vast size and heterogeneous demand base, it offers great lucrative opportunities to marketers. Almost two-thirds of the country's consumers live in rural areas, and there is a substantial part of the national income which is generated from these rural hinterlands. Development programs such as health, education, electricity, communication, etc. have improved the lifestyles of the people living in villages. You can just very well imagine like the kind of internet usage that has gone such rapidly in the rural areas that has gone up. You can just see how the farmers are accessing through their smartphones any kind of information that they seek for. And along with increasing in purchasing power, we are witnessing the increase in the production in rural areas as well as the consumption also is going up. Rural market is emerging as an economic powerhouse of our nation, and hence a social marketing strategy for this market is becoming absolutely necessary. Rural marketing is often confused with agriculture marketing. So what is agriculture marketing? Normally, agriculture marketing denotes marketing of produce of the rural areas to the urban consumers or industrial consumers. On the other hand, the rural marketing involves delivering manufactured or processed goods or services to the rural producers or consumers. As rural markets acquire significance, the Indian growth story spread itself to rural hinterland. Some examples are like quite successive examples we can tell is like LIC, which has sold more than 50% of the insurance policy only in the rural areas. BSNL, which has a very large penetration in rural areas, which is more than 50% again, and mostly in the smaller towns and villages. About 41 million Kisan credit cards which have been issued in these rural areas. The government rural's e-governance initiative, Common Service Center, has now started a new project under which it will create a pan-India cash and carry stores to help the rural consumers have an experience of a supermarket kind of experience. These are run by village level entrepreneurs to sell FMCG products, smartphones, computers, like etc. from companies like ITC, Samsung, HP, Godrej, Patanjali and many other rural company who are specially focused for a major chunk of the rural industry. So now friends, some of the reasons why companies are going rural are higher rural income driven by agricultural growth and productivity. So we have seen in the past few years and maybe few recent decades that the productivity of agriculture produce has gone up. That is giving a high price to the farmer, where actually they are realizing some better prices on their commodities. Increasing the enrollment in primary schools, that has gone up, so the literacy is going up slowly. High penetration of TV, mobile phone and other mass media have increased the inclination towards natural tendency to consume branded and value-added products in rural area. So people now who earlier used to go for a lot of spurious and fake products are now actually demanding for a branded product from the market. Rural consumption per person is increasing by the rate of 19% every year. There are various challenges when it comes to the rural marketing. The major challenges being, the product has to be made affordable for the rural consumers. For the penetration in deeper pockets, we have to look at the infrastructure, the transportation problems, the supply chain demand, to improve the connectivity, to improve the communication systems. And there is a major problem with the language issue also. Like with every change in few hundred kilometers, the script, the dialect, the total rural accent, language, everything changes. So one has to overcome that hindrance. There is another major problem with the rural industry in accessing the market is the presence of spurious brands. There are various kind of look-alike and spell-alike products in the market, and choosing a genuine authentic product from a real seller is a big issue. Coming to the science and technology for rural development. Science and technology has provided unique opportunity of pursuing action-oriented R&D by interested scientists from younger generation who are more committed to work in the rural area now. Some of the examples are like rural natural resource management through watershed development, production of low-cost biofertilizers, organic cultivation and process of medicinal and aromatic plants, which is again gaining a momentum these days. Development of solar refrigerator, specially focusing to the rural need, and development of low-cost double-jacketed honey processing equipment with effective filters suited to rural mass application. There are various other examples like establishment of rural technology park in Meghalaya, the low-cost energy-saving local renewable technology for water system development, development of pen cage culture for rearing and propagation of fish, the ergonomic studies of women employed in the export sector, animal husbandry, which is again gaining a lot of importance, skill upgradation of women engaged in glazed and decorative terracotta products, which is again a great opportunity to explore. As a model technology park exclusive for rural women, it has been facilitated at three locations in the country. The park showcases location-specific technologies relevant to women, provide training and backward and forward linkages so that women would be able to use this technology to improve their living conditions. Rural areas. Let me talk about few of the government initiatives, what government has been trying to help out our rural masses. Some important schemes for rural development launched by Government of India are Deen Dayal Upadhyay Gramin Kaushalya Yojana. It is a part of National Livelihood Mission and its objective is to cater to the aspirations of the rural youth and to our diversity to the income of rural families. Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana. These schemes aim at enhancing rural road connectivity. Swarn Jayanti Gram Swarajgar Yojana. This also is known as Ajivika. This scheme aims at empowering women, especially of the SHGs group, the self-help model across the country. Mahatma Gandhi National Rural Employment Guarantee Act. This scheme guarantees 100 man days of work for unskilled labor in a rural area in a one financial year. Pradhan Mantri Awas Yojana, Grameen. It is a welfare program which is created by the Indian government to provide housing to rural people at an affordable price in India. Sansad Adarsh Gram Yojana. It is a rural development project in which each member of the parliament will take the responsibility of 3 villages and look after the personal, human, social and environmental as well as economic development of the villages. Sarva Siksha Abhiyan. This is mainly a literary program which is attempted to provide an opportunity to all the children aged in the group of 6 to 14 to get a free elementary education, which is their fundamental right also. The state and the central government share the total expenses among themselves in this project. Digital India. The idea is to change India into an electronically empowered economy. Coming to the Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana. This is another Yojana which has gained a lot of hype. This is a prestigious financial inclusion scheme or program in which on the very first day of the launch of the program, about 15 million bank accounts were opened and each of those account holders were given a sum of 1 lakh as an insurance coverage. Coming to the Pradhan Mantri Mudra Yojana, this is a flagship program by the Government of India to fund the unfunded. Here I mean by bringing such enterprise to the formal financial system, the government actually extend a kind of affordable credit to them so that they don't have to go into the clutches of high interest money lenders. Pradhan Mantri Ujwala Yojana. This is a scheme of the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas for providing LPG connections to women from below poverty line in the rural sectors. PM Kisan Scheme. Under this scheme, each farmer will get a sum of 6,000 rupees annually in 3 equal installment, irrespective of their size of the land holding. So there has been a recent announcement where actually the government has extended this scheme to 14.5 crore farmers throughout India. Jal Shakti Abhiyan. It aims at providing safe and potable drinking water to the rural community. More than 2 lakh projects are to be carried out of the water conservation and it is applicable to more than 1100 districts across the country. E-Farmer Direct Benefit Transfer System. This is another attempt to enhance the mechanism of transferring subsidies launched by the Government of India under various schemes directly to the account holder in the rural community. There are various other programs which are also targeted at the rural consumers or the rural community for their upliftment. Some of them are like National Rural Drinking Water Program, Total Sanitation Program, Integrative Watershed Development Program, and the Rural Electrification Program, which include separation of agriculture feeders, and Rajiv Gandhi Grameen Vidyutikaran Yojana. Now coming to the topic of rural local self-governments. How do they function? We all have to understand the basic machinery, how a rural government functions. This is a picture showing an active session of the Gram Panchayat held in a village of India. Rural local self-government, it is a part of the amendment of 73rd amendment of the constitution, which seeks to endow the panchayats with such power and authority as may be required to enable them to function as genuine institutions of self-governance. It aims at social political empowerment of the village communities, accountability of local government functionaries, greater control of village communities over local resources. This is the flow chart which describes what is the hierarchy or the machinery, how it functions in the rural panchayats. And this shows like there is a Jila Parishad, and then there is a block panchayat, Then there is a village panchayat, which is for a group of villages. And finally, there are the Gram Sabhas, where all adult members of a village participate. The main role is to function as a local self-government. They provide the civic amenities, they carry out developmental works, and they can levy some taxes. Coming to the Jila Parishad, which is an elected body. Members of a Jila Parishad are elected from the district on the basis of adult franchisee for a term of 5 years. The CEO or the Chief Executive Officer is an IS officer or a senior state service officer who heads the administrative set for the Jila Parishad. He supervises the divisions of the Parishad and is assisted by deputy CEOs and other officials at district and block level officers. Some of the functions of the Jila Parishad are to provide essential services and facilities to the rural population and the planning and execution of the development programs for the district, to supply improved seeds to farmers, inform them of new technology of training, undertake construction of small scale irrigation projects to improve the productivity of the crops in those areas, and maintain a pasture and grazing land for the livestock development in those areas. There are various other activities also which the Jila Parishad take up. So one is like the setting up school and running those schools to educate the masses of those areas. They also focus a lot on the adult literacy, and they also manage the libraries. Now they also are very much focused into the primary health centers and hospitals, which they start and run in the villages, with special focus on vaccination drives like polio and various other vaccination, which is very much essential for each of the child in those communities. They also are into the constructing of infrastructure like bridges, roads, and wherever other infrastructures needed. So friends, today we have learnt about the definition of rural industry, how we can define it properly, and what are the major challenges that they face in their day in and day out activities, and what are the major sources of income of these masses, and what are the other industry they focus on this community for their business and other enterprises. We also talked about the government projects and programs and schemes which focus on these rural masses for their upliftment, because as according to Mahatma Gandhi, we have to develop our villages because India exists in its villages. We also learned about the government machinery, the local self-government of a rural setting, how it functions and what are the major activities or responsibilities that it carries out. So with this, I conclude the first chapter. Thank you.